Just give a big welcome for Miss Paula.
Hi, everybody. I'm Paula. I'm an alcoholic. Hi, happy Saturday, and thanks for having me. It's always an honor and a privilege to be of service to Alcoholics Anonymous in whatever capacity I can. I have a sobriety date. That's February 23rd of 2008. I will say that that is the only perfect part of my sobriety. And I do say that because God definitely chose that sobriety date for me. I'll get into that, but leading up to getting sober, you know, I used to choose sobriety dates like it was a hobby, you know, next week, next year, when I'm 25, 30, you know, any time but right now was a good time to get sober. And the reality of, you know, the situation is, you know, I'm an alcoholic and alcoholism had me by the throat, you know, and I could not stop drinking. The thought, the idea of not drinking was unfathomable. I could not stop. And so, you know, the fact that I am clean and sober here on a Saturday night with all of you, it's just one of the many miracles in my life. And I, on a daily basis, will do whatever I can to shout it from the rooftops and be of service to the men and women that walk into AA. So Nick, I just wholeheartedly welcome you and I love you. And I'm just so glad to see you here. You know, I am an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. I don't say that to be dramatic. I just say that because let's just call it what it is. That is who I am. You know, I drank as long as I could, as hard as I could, and as fast as I could, which meant when I started drinking at 14, almost 15 years old, you know, I got sober at 21. And, you know, and in those 6-7 years, you know, the theme was, it was fun, but it was always full of problems. And then at some point it was just a shit show. And, you know, alcoholism to a T is, you know, I would take a drink, you know, I would, you know, I'm in high school, I'm, you know, of college age, and I'm just going to go out with my friends and I'm just going to go have a good time. And that is the intention. And what happens pretty much 100% of the time is that I take a drink, and then who the heck knows what is going to happen? You know, I am probably going to have at least 10. I am probably going to end up in another city. I am probably going to make decisions that I would not do sober. I'm more than likely going to black out. I'm more than likely going to pass out. I might yell at you. I might cry. I might hit you. I don't know. But bad things are doomed when I drink. And I just want to have a good time, right? I just want to be the social party girl. And by the time, you know, just before I got sober, it was party of one. Like it was absolutely just party of one. You know, there was no partying going on. The darkness was real. The hopelessness was alive and well. It was just me isolated, alone, and hopeless, just like my alcoholism wants me, had me right where it wanted me, you know? And I went to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, because that's where drunks go, you know, that's where, you know, they give you court cards to go to AA, right? And so that's where I went. And I would go for a couple of years and I'd just get the card signed and I'd keep going. I get the alcoholic accessories. I get arrested. I get DUIs, drunk in public. So I get kicked out of universities. I get the ankle bracelets. I get the breathalyzer. I get all the stuff. And they also send me to AA. So I went to AA for a couple of years, you know, just to appease the courts and the people in my life who clearly thought I had a problem. And then there came a time where, because I went to Alcoholics Anonymous, I knew where to go and I wanted to stop drinking and I absolutely could not stop drinking. So I became, you know, my role in life became the drunk girl in AA. And that was the hardest year and a half of my life, certainly. And I never want to forget what it was like to be the drunk girl in AA, even when I didn't want to drink before a meeting, I couldn't not. Even when I didn't want to drink in a meeting, I couldn't not. Like I would have to drink just to exist. And I remember one time, you know, just being in a meeting and I had to get up, I had to leave. I was crawling out of my skin. I needed to drink. And I went out the back door and I went around the corner of the liquor store and I bought a 40 and I just pounded it in the bathroom, walked back to the meeting just so I could sit for the next 45 minutes and fit somewhat, not even comfortably, somewhat numb in my skin. And I sat back down and I clung onto the guy's hand next to me and I just sobbed. Because what I knew in that moment is that I was never, ever going to be able to get sober. I am the hopeless variety drunk. And you guys were in those meetings, happy, joyous, and free. And I was the exception to the rule, right? And so what happened for me is fast forward a few months after that, and I'm down in Orange County, and, you know, I've kind of, you know, set the scene. I'm there to get sober, and really, like, I'd like to get sober, but I'm still in the grips of alcoholism. So I'm really not there to get sober. I'm just there to get the courts and the police and my parents and the people and the eyes off my back, because I live comfortably 20 miles minimum from the truth. That's where I sit most comfortably. I don't like to live in reality. Mm-mm, not at all. And so I'm down in Orange County. I've been sober for maybe a week, and I have my last really good plan sober. Sorry, drunk. My last really good plan. And the plan was to get on a train because I had lost the privilege to drive yet again. And my parents bought me a train ticket, and I was going to go up for a weekend pass up in San Luis Obispo, where I'm from. And I got on the train, you know, for my nice weekend with my parents. And I'm just going to have a beer. The plan was just to have a beer. And here is alcoholism to a T. One beer led to two, two led to three, three led to Bloody Marys. Now I'm drinking with everybody on the train. Now the conductor's buying me alcohol, blacked out, passed out, same dance, different day, right? I am powerless over alcohol. You know, I was newly sober. I heard somebody share in every single meeting, he'd say, the man takes the drink takes the drink, and then the drink takes the man. And there it is. There it is, clear as day. I'm an alcoholic. I can't just have a beer. Man, I cannot have a beer. I have a beer. The phenomenon of craving kicks in, and boom, you know, I'm off and running. And so what happened for me is we pulled in the train station in San Luis Obispo, and I'm in a blackout, you know, and all I remember is just stumbling off the train and looking up, and there were my parents, and the look on their faces of, oh my God, what are we going to do with you? You know, and that was not a foreign look for me. I got that look from the time I started drinking until that very moment, whether it be my parents or, you know, my boyfriend at the time or the police or whatever, you know, that wasn't a foreign look. And for whatever reason in that moment, it was the absolute most significant thing that's ever happened for me. I knew exactly who I was and what I needed to do, you know, and back into the blackout I went. And I came to that next morning, and the need to drink from the inside out was gone. And I have not had a drink since, you know, The need from the inside out was removed, you know, and I'm not confused about the fact that alcoholism is still here alive and well and ready to kick my ass. I can't rely on that moment, that just gift from my higher power as if like, okay, I'm good now. You know, I have to, a day at a time, do whatever I can to stay sober and keep that thing at bay, because I am still an alcoholic. I'm just as alcoholic today as I was on February 28th of 2008. The only difference between now and then is that I'm clean and sober. I've got Alcoholics Anonymous, power greater than myself. And, you know, and I've got a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. You know, before I didn't have a choice. Today I have a choice, and I've been gifted that. I've been absolutely gifted that by my higher power, you know, and my sobriety over the last 13 years has been beautiful. It's been amazing. It's been the hardest thing in the world. It's been life, right? It's been life. I got sober and I was not immune from life. All of a sudden I was given life, and 100% of it. And what happened is I jumped into Alcoholics Anonymous with both feet, and I learned what going to any lengths for my sobriety meant. You know, I got with a sponsor almost right away because my life depended on it. I knew pretty shortly after I stopped drinking that not drinking was not enough. There is a program of action that is necessary for this alcoholic to stay sober. And so I jumped in and I met with my sponsor, and we started meeting on a regular basis. I went to 3 to 5 meetings every day for the first year and a half of my sobriety, because I had no business going out there and trying to be a daughter, a sister, a friend, seeking out a partner, an employee. Like, I didn't have any business living life. I had burned my life to the ground. And my job was to sit my ass in a seat a few times a day, do what you guys told me to do, and stop being that person, you know? And the byproduct is, like, I am sober today by the grace of God, and I am happy about it. You know, like I used to wake up on a daily basis and not want to wake up. I used to wake up on a daily basis and want to die. Quite frankly, I used to wake up on a daily basis and need to drink. I would reach over for whatever the heck was left over from the night or the morning, you know, before, and bam, it was on. And that was my vicious cycle, you know, and I am not a hostage to my alcoholism today, you know, and if I keep showing up here, and I keep doing the work, holy moly, like the rest is like, the rest is just cake, right? But that's the key, is I have to do everything that is outlined here in Alcoholics Anonymous. This AA buffet that is just right in front of me, like I can't just pick and choose. I have to do the whole kit and caboodle. So sponsorship, working with others, going to meetings, service, like I got to do it all. And thank God, like, thank God I get to do it all. And I know that I have to do it all because there's no confusion about, do I do this or do I have to do that? No, like the answer is yes, 100% of the time. So if you're new to AA, like, I just wholeheartedly welcome you. This is the absolute best thing that's ever happened for me, you know? And I went from the hopeless drunk that I could talk about for an hour and a half. And it's just like you, right? Hopeless. Nobody knows hopelessness like the alcoholic, right? I went from that hopeless state of mind and body to happy, joyous, and free. And how did I get from there to here? Alcoholics Anonymous, the steps, day at a time. It's nothing more like, you know, brilliant than that. It's just a day at a time. It's outlined right here. So grab on with both hands and you'll just enjoy the ride of your life. This is the best thing that's ever happened for me. And I'm just so grateful to be here. So thank you.
Okay, let's give Paula another round of applause for that. All right. Thank you so much, Paula.